Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Does anybody know anybody famous? There's a tendency, if we do know somebody famous, is to toss that name out every once in a while. Just every once in a while. And I'm not above that myself. So, have you ever seen the Home Alone movies? The little kid, Macaulay Culkin. Him. I know his brother. Shane and I worked together for a company where we did church organ installations. And Shane then got a job as a doorkeeper at a high-end apartment building in Manhattan. It's kind of a curious sort of thing because they dress them up like they're part of the Swiss Guard. They have the most bizarre uniforms they put them in, making them all look fancy, and his job is primarily to open the door as people come in and out of the building. And the reason why I bring this up is I was raised to do the job that Shane is paid for. Part of what my father taught me in terms of being a polite male is that you're supposed to open the door for other people if you have that opportunity. What really fries my cookies is when you open the door for somebody and they just walk right on through. Not a smile, not a nod, not a thank you. Now, my father did not teach me to open the door for people to be able to get some sort of acclamation out of it, but I don't open the door for people either because I'm Shane Culkin. I don't get paid to do it. If somebody's going to do something nice for you and something polite for you and offer a kind gesture, what do you say? Thank you. You say thank you. Because demonstrating that sense of gratitude, I think, is important. It's an important part of our civil society in terms of how the ebb and flow of everything works in terms of the interconnectedness with humanity. The first couple of years of my life, I lived in a town called Brady's Bend, Pennsylvania, had a population of about 700, and it was a rather peculiar sort of place because it was very backwards, very Appalachian. Now, in Brady's Bend, you had Pizzuti's General Store. So, if you were really in a pinch and your neighbor didn't have that cup of flour that you needed, you'd go to Pizzuti's. But, if you were going grocery shopping, you'd cross the river, and you go to East Brady, to the IGA, the International Grocers Association, and you'd do your shopping there. However, if there were things that you wanted to buy that weren't just contained in a very small grocery store, then you would have to drive to Katanning, Pennsylvania, which was about 35 miles away. And there they had big stores like Woolworth. And then if you were really, really challenging and brave, then you'd take the extra half hour from there and you'd go to Pittsburgh, where they had things like Gimbel's and Horns and Kaufman's and Sears. There was a neighbor of my grandparents, was the Sipes family. Now, the Sipes family lived up on a hill, didn't have a car, didn't have indoor plumbing. Now, I assume they had electricity because they had about five old television sets piled up on the porch. And if you listened very carefully, as you stood near their house, you might hear, boom, 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 because they were unique. We're always told not to play with the Sipes kids. And so we didn't. But my grandmother would give Mrs. Sipes car rides to Katanning, half an hour away. It was a no-win situation because it was a choice my grandmother made, and as a grandson, you just sat there, number one. Number two, if it was wintertime, the windows were up, the heat was on, the car smelled really bad because Mrs. Sipes smelled really bad. If it was summer, the windows were down, the air was flowing, it was still hot, and Mrs. Sipes still smelled very bad. And when she sat in the front seat and you sat in the back seat, all that air seemed to waft around her to come to the back seat. Sometimes these things were planned, sometimes they weren't planned. Sometimes we'd be going somewhere and Mrs. Sipes would be walking down the road and my grandmother would pick her up. And I could never, ever really fathom why on earth you would do this. Why would you pick up this crazy, stinky lady and take her for an hour-long drive? But she did. So finally, I broke down. And I asked her. And she never really answered me. Until we got home and we dropped Mrs. Sipes off, and Mrs. Sipes said, "Thank you." And my grandmother turned around and she said, "That's the reason why." Because she needed a ride. And she was grateful that I could give her the ride. And I was grateful that I could give her a ride. Today's gospel lesson, 10 lepers, we know the story, they all get healed. They run off to go see the priest, because this is part of what goes on within an ancient Jewish community. You have some kind of skin disease, you're set aside. If you happen to get better for whatever the circumstance, to be able to be brought back into the community, you had to see the priest. The priest would declare you clean. And then you could be part of the community again. So Jesus sends the 10 lepers to go see the priest so they could be declared clean. So the one turns around when he realizes what's going on and he comes back and he offers his thanks. Now, I've never found this one to be very fair to the other nine. Because what did Jesus tell them to go do? Go see the priest. Jesus. Lepers. Lepers listen to Jesus. Jesus says, go and do. Lepers go and do. So how can we pick on the other nine? They're just doing what Jesus told them to do. Go see the priest. So off they go. But the one comes back, the one who's not supposed to come back, the Samaritan, the one who's supposed to be the ingrate, the one who's supposed to be unfaithful, the one who's supposed to not have a slightest clue about who Jesus was. He comes back and he says, thanks. He offers his thanks to this gift that God has given him through Christ. Gratitude's a curious thing, because sometimes we'll say thank you without really even being gracious about it, just because it kind of comes out. Well, thanks. Thank you. Thanks. And other times we really mean it. And other times we forget to show our gratitude. And yet the reality of our lives is that we have so very much to be grateful for. We always run into that whole conversation about lemons and lemonade, glasses half full and half empty and all that kind of hoo-ha. But the bottom line is that even if we have a drop of water in that cup, we have something to be grateful for. And considering where we live and what our lives are like, we have a whole lot more than just a single drop of water in our cups. Which means we got a whole lot more to be grateful for. And within that sense of being grateful for what God has blessed us with is that sense of gratitude that needs to really exude from our very pores, from our being. That we should live our lives as people grateful for what God has blessed us with. And therein lies the conundrum. I love conundrum. It's a great word. How do you give thanks? How do you tangibly give thanks to God? Do we do it like we do it to everybody else? Thanks, God. Or do we look for other means? I would hold that God calls us to look for other means to be able to exhibit our gratitude. That's part of the historic reason why you're sitting in these chairs today. This is one way God has set forth for us within worship, our way to offer thanks to God for what God has blessed us with, our way of saying thanks, our way of showing our gratitude. But it goes beyond just doing this hour Sunday thing. You hope it's an hour at least. I can make it longer. We have the opportunity to give thanks in so many different ways in terms of how we shape our lives, in terms of how we live our lives, what we give, what we say to others, how we share the things that are valuable to us, how we touch the lives of others in what we say and what we do. The gratitude that we have should be something that lives out of our hearts in terms of what we offer back to the world. Giving thanks is about living our lives in the manner for which God has intended. God's blessed us in innumerable ways and expects us to be able to live out those things to the world in which we're a part. And when we do that, then we're offering thanks. We're showing our gratitude. But it's not always that easy. So I have a homework assignment for you. Now, think about it. Just because it's not school doesn't mean there can't be homework. So, this week, I want you to think long, and I want you to think hard. And it really shouldn't take you that long, or you wouldn't have to think that hard to figure this one out. I want you to come up with the name of somebody that you are grateful for what they have blessed you with. Somebody who has touched your life in a way that has changed you. Somebody who has shared with you something that has changed your outlook on life. Somebody who has shared a sense of love with you. Somebody who has shared a sense of gratitude, taught you a skill, done something with you that has made your life different. I want you to figure out who that person is. And I want you to write them a thank you note. I want you to show them your gratitude. Because we don't do that all the time. You know, when I hold the door open for somebody and then I'll say thank you, I don't necessarily think that they're a rude person. They might be, but I don't know that. They might just be so caught up in what's going on within their world that they don't even think about what's taking place around them and have that opportunity to say thank you for what I've done for them. Maybe. A lot of times with us, we get so wrapped up within our worlds that we don't have the time to offer the thanks that we need to the people who are special to us, the people who have brought love into our lives, the people who have taught us different things, the people who have inspired us to be the people we are, the people who have blessed us in so many different ways. And we don't have the time or think about what it might do, what we might do to be able to offer that thanks to God. The leper had the chance to turn around and go, "Ooh, look at this," and turn around and run back because he said, "I'm healed." Now there's a 10% gratitude rating there. The other 9 couldn't figure it out. The Samaritan, the one who wasn't supposed to figure it out, figured it out and came back to offer his thanks to God. I want a 100% rating. I want you to think about what it is that you can do to offer your thanks to God. Not the normal, everyday sort of thing that you do because that's what you've taught yourself to do, but something that's a little bit above the norm, something that's over the top, something you haven't thought of before in terms of offering your thanks and praise to God for what God has blessed you with in your life. Because when you compare your life with the lives of people around the world, oh, we have a whole lot to give thanks for. When you think about the things that go on within this community, let alone within this world, where we sit and where we live, we have so much that we've been blessed with, so much that we take for granted, so much that we need to offer thanks and praise to, that the challenge is to shape your lives to an attitude of gratitude, to be able to really figure out what it is that you can do on a regular basis to give thanks for what God has blessed you with. The Samaritan figured it out. He turned around and came back. This is our chance to figure it out. To figure out what exactly it might be that we can do to individually give thanks to God for the blessings that we've found within our lives. Because they are more than we will ever possibly realize. So just think about that this week. Think about what it might be that you can do to show your gratitude to this God of healing, this God of love, this God of life. Amen.